Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, when I'm right, I'm right. I'm just going to say it right now.
You're right?
I was right.
About what?
The Sharks are on to a great start.
Yes, dude.
They are 4-0. As I said last week, there's an opportunity for them to be undefeated.
Yeah.
Going on to the road trip, and they've accomplished that, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything to be concerned about or to complain about tonight.
Is this like bizarro week or something?
I'm just trying to put some sort of positive spin
yeah.
upon the malarkey. I said it, dude.
Malarkey.
The malarkey.
Dude, this is a family podcast.
That we saw last week.
How dare you?
Unexpected. The Sharks drop all three games, two against the Ducks, one against the Blues, after coming out like gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Opening night against the Coyotes, dude. We lose in Anaheim, and we lose at home against the Blues and home against the Ducks. Dude, I think that the bulk of this podcast is going to be talking about when everything was starting off so right.
Mm-hmm.
How did things go so wrong so fast?
I don't know.
It doesn't seem like they know either.
Yeah.
Based on some of the post-game comments from McClellan and the coaching staff and the players, they just seem sort of bewildered about what's happened. We've heard some of the standard answers, right? We're not working hard enough. We're mm-hmm. not forechecking enough. We're skating around too much and not. You know, we've seen the ice capades from the Sharks before, and we've been seeing some of that again now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's disturbing. I'm not going to say it's alarming, but it's disturbing at the moment. After making such a big deal about having a hot start.
Yeah.
Now you're basically staring at the Blue Jackets like the Doublemint twins going, look at us together at the bottom.
And the Blue Jackets at least have an excuse.
What's their excuse?
Well, they were missing James Wisniewski, their biggest offseason pickup. He still is not back because he was suspended during the preseason. So he's not even playing. And now they've lost Jeff Carter. I think they did put him on the IR. Jeff Carter suffered a broken bone in his foot. So the hits just keep on trucking for the Blue Jackets. I think one or both of us picked them to make the playoffs before the season began, but they've just been just terrible, awful, no good, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the Sharks haven't been much better, to be honest.
Well, for one game they were.
Yeah, one. Well, two periods, not even really a whole game.
Let's go back and look at them, I guess, briefly game by game, and then we can take some emails that we have here. You know, if we're going to the Anaheim game last Friday night in Anaheim. We know there was a large contingent of Sharks fans that rode down on the bus, and we heard from Nikki. We actually got an email from Nikki giving us a little bit of a recap. Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, I got it right here. And so she gave us sort of the lowdown of how it went. I know somebody or maybe a couple of people tweeted us asking us why we didn't go down. And, you know, why ride a bus when you can fly?
We'd like to go.
Yeah,
I think that it's never really fit into our work schedules
That's
to be
true.
Able to make that happen. But at some point, it would be awesome to do it.
But anyway, so there were 250 people.
That's great.
On the buses, and Brody Brazil was down on one of the buses. And so it took, she said, 7.5 hours to get down there, which is quite a bit. They gave some money to charity, which is cool. They got trash talked to the game, which is inevitable. And she said Brent Burns was just super excited to see all of us down in Anaheim supporting the team, and he tossed some pucks over to us and banged on the boards. And hung out after the game and then sort of rode the bus all night and got home in the morning. So sounds like a pretty cool road trip. And it's good to see that there's a lot of loyal Sharks fans willing to brave the Los Angeles area traffic to go and see the Sharks down there. So
a pretty anticlimactic game.
Yeah.
1-0. You basically get Hillard. You know, we've seen that before.
Right.
You outshoot the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And Hiller steals it for them. I mean, I don't know if it was the Sharks were outright the better team, but they certainly on paper, you know, had better stats that night. Well, what do you make of that first game, dude, in terms of on the road, that second game, sorry, against the Ducks? what's your biggest overall criticism?
Maybe my perception is just colored by the fact that they've lost all three games, but I don't necessarily agree with some of the people that have emailed us and posted in the comment section saying that the Sharks were the better team. I didn't think the Sharks were the better team in any of those games. Mm-hmm. There were stretches of time where it looked like the Sharks were going to claw their way back in it, but they fell down early in all three games. They lost, you know, they gave up the first goal. In, you know, the Ducks case, they gave up one goal and that was enough on kind of a fluky play by Maxim Meissenauer or whatever the guy's name is. And I thought they were getting pretty well schooled by the Ducks top line. And for all the crap that we gave the Ducks third and fourth lines, they were doing just fine. And the Sharks kind of weren't. So I thought Greiss played actually pretty dang well
yeah,
in that game.
Yeah, I think so too. It was nice to see him have his first real legit NHL almost near steal. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he played very well in that game and was encouraging to see, you know, if something long-term were to happen to Niemi and Netamaki's out, that you don't feel like you're hopeless or hapless with
right.
Greiss.
Right.
That he looked pretty good. And on a night where he wasn't getting a lot of help.
Right. Exactly. And the Blues seem sort of more of the same. I know I posted after that game because the quote was Tom McClellan said they came to grind and we didn't. And, you know, that's sort of how I would sum up all the games. It seemed like the Sharks were trying to make lots of little, you know, dinky passes here and there, you know, tricky passes instead of, you know, banging the puck out, banging the puck in. I'm not saying that they need to play every play like, you know, it's just straight ahead of hockey and no one can hold on to the puck for any length of time. But it seems like, you know, when you got two guys in between you and your intended target, maybe you shouldn't try to pass it over both their sticks that time, you know, in the middle of the offensive zone, sort of going back towards the blue line, which ends up in a 3-on-2 the other way. And it seems like there was a lot of those kinds of plays where it's like they chose the tricky play, the dazzling play, instead of the simple play and the obvious play. And I didn't really see that stop in any of the games. I mean, maybe they got a little bit better at times and they were more successful at it. But for the most part, it just seemed like the decision-making was off in a lot of ways. So I hope they can correct it because, they clearly found out against the Blues and the Ducks that even good teams with a lot of, you know, skill and a lot of talent, they'll lose to other teams that just play the right way. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened to the Sharks, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's hard to understand how you're going to go out and lose to teams that if you're going to be a championship caliber team and you're making such a big deal about getting off to a good start and reversing mm-hmm. the trend that has been the trend for the Sharks, where you're starting slow like last year.
Right.
And here they are again. And they've dug themselves quite a hole because now you're going on a 6-game road trip against some teams that have started off pretty damn good.
Right.
You know, you're going to go to Detroit. You've got to go to the island to play the Islanders. They're playing well. New Jersey is playing well.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not going to be easy
Rangers
games.
Rangers are playing well?
Yeah. Well, the Rangers were playing lousy, and then they go in and beat Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So they're feeling good. Nashville's never easy to play. Who are we forgetting? Boston. Oh, sorry. The Stanley Cup champs.
Just those guys.
Even though, and they're off to a little bit of a rough start too, and mm-hmm. no Krejci, but still, anytime you play the Bruins, that's going to be tough. I don't know if I want to beat the Sharks' losses into the ground because I feel bad, but it's way too early for everybody to get too worked up about this. And I try to look at it from being a neutral observer, which is actually totally impossible because
right.
I'm way too invested in yeah. this team. But you look at all the changes the Sharks made, major changes, mm-hmm. and we saw how well they did in the preseason. But for a team that has major changes to struggle early, that does make some sense.
Yes.
You know, you've got two new defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, your regular starting goalie has only played one of the first four games. You've got, you know, a top six forward missing, guys playing on different lines, a new third line center, basically a brand new fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a new team. So for them to not totally have it figured out is not shocking. Dude.
No, it's not. And
it doesn't make you feel better.
No, not particularly.
But I think we've got it. We have to reach down somewhere and find some degree of patience.
I think so. And in thinking about that, let's turn to Tom's email. He says, dudes, Doug Wilson has said publicly that in hindsight, he probably should have made roster moves sooner last year when the team struggled. So let me ask you this bluntly. Do you think this year's team is on a shorter leash? I do. And where do you think the line will be where DW starts thinking about making roster moves? I can't imagine DW sitting on his hands again if the Sharks get home after this road trip and they've not worked out their promises on their problems on the ice. I realize it's only four games and not the time for such moves. However, I get all the indicators that DW isn't going to sit on his hands this year like he did last year. Thanks as always. What do you think, dude?
I don't remember the context of those comments completely,
mm-hmm.
but I think the two guys that he would have wanted to trade last year in the middle of the year are gone. Like, it's Heatley and it's Seto. I mean, those were the two guys that, you know, and you can say they're doing great in Minnesota right now, and that's fine, you know.
Right.
But they weren't doing great here, and we saw how that was playing out, and it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you gonna move? You're going to trade Klo? No way.
Right.
You're going to trade Couture?
You trade Joe Thornton because he doesn't have, you know, he has one point.
You know, moving Torrey Mitchell, I don't think is going to solve anything.
He's been one of the best players.
He has been one of the best players. And I think you've got to give it a little bit more of a sample size than four games, even though I'm beyond frustrated with him.
Like, yeah.
I'm so frustrated.
And even after the road trip, it will be only 10 games. So,
right. I don't think that's enough. And for us or for the Blue Jackets, you know, people are clamoring for them to start making moves. They've played five or six games. Like you've got that team has some major, you know, also new pieces, and one of them's not even playing. Now two of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to give it some time. And I'm trying to look at it a little bit glass half full here, dude. You know, sometimes teams prefer to open on the road, and if you have a nice long road trip, supposedly that's good for team morale and good for bonding, and you get the boys out on the road and they do whatever the boys do while they're out on the road, and and they have dinner together and they are able to make the team come together, dude, and maybe they're going to pull their heads out.
Right.
Out here on this trip, it's not going to be easy based on who they're playing, but
even if they don't and they lay a big turd on the road, and
even if they come back
and they come back only winning one game on the road or something like that, I can't imagine Doug Wilson's going to suddenly completely change course, because the context under which I see last year's moves that he mentioned, and I think specifically they were talking about Ben Eager and Kyle Wellwood, to me, those were moves to fill or to address glaring needs on the team. I don't necessarily, maybe you disagree with this, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. I don't see those like same needs on the Sharks this year. So in 10 games, you're going to say, well, that whole Havlat thing hasn't worked out because he's now played six games. So now it's time to trade another top six forward and get somebody else. Because, you know, I don't think what could he possibly see in 10 games and say, I need to completely change course and shake this up again. You know, Hanzus has been playing pretty well. Mitchell's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean,
the real problem with this team, as Mark Emmons put in a article today, is that the best players aren't producing. So you have Joe Thornton has 1,000 career games, or will be playing in his 1,000th career game on Tuesday. And so the answer is to trade Joe Thornton, you know, 10 games into the season because he's having a bad start.
It's not going to happen.
I just don't see that, you know, how could that be the problem that Doug Wilson's going to say, we have to fix this, we have to fix this now. I just can't think of what that problem could possibly be. Unless, of course, there's like some massive rash of injuries or something like that. But I think he's sort of, you know, he created this hand. I think he's going to play the cards that he's got for a while until it becomes, you know, blatantly obvious. And blatantly obvious to me is 25 or 30 games that something is terribly amiss. And 25 or 30 games would put you, you know, around Christmas time, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that about what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
So I think if some major thing is going to be made because the Sharks are just doing god-awful, it's not going to be till the holidays, you know? New Year's, something around that time.
Yeah, I got to say, before I think before they started trading any players, I think it would come down on the coaching staff first.
Right. You That's know, true too.
I think that they're gonna be the ones that would fall first. But dude, I don't even want to get into this yet. This is not... way too early. This is just, you know, we'll be sitting here laughing about this conversation in 2 weeks if they rattle off 5 out of 6 on this road trip. I still believe in the core of this team. I believe they still are missing one player on the third line in order to really make it complete. I like McGinn's motor right now. He'll hit anything. He'll ram into imaginary players.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to just run into the boards with no one there.
Right.
You know, there
I wish you were right here. Ah!
You know, we've seen what makes Brent Burns a great fit for this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has some holes in his game defensively a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
you do see that a little bit,
but not a lot, you know, right. And he certainly, you know, the most disappointing defenseman I think so far has been Jason Demers.
Without question.
He's sort of channeling his inner Ehrerhoff at times and not making smart plays, giveaways in his own zone. He may be on a short leash, dude, because if he continues to play sloppy, you know, they will bring up Justin Braun. I think...
What about Jim Vandermeer?
Well, I think they bring up Justin Braun first. I do. Vandermeer and Colin White is not a great bottom pairing like that. Now you've got two guys who's going to move the puck there. You know, that's not either of their thing. And Colin White was the one who was supposed to be marking Solani on Monday night. Mm-hmm. And Solani snuck behind him twice.
Right.
One time he didn't finish it. The other time he did.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, Colin White made some mistakes on Monday. He's not alone, but if I had to circle a player right now that I think maybe, I mean, going to Tom's is Demers. I mean, Demers mm-hmm. needs to pull his head out.
Yeah.
Or he might not get traded, but you know, he might get benched.
Right.
You know, and we might see Justin Braun quickly, you know.
I think they'll go with the healthy scratch and play White and Vandermeer first before they'll pull the chute on Justin Braun and mm-hmm. bring him up because he just needs the playing time. There's no reason to ship him cross country a couple times. There's a reason we have 7 defensemen and we're carrying him. Why would we bring in an 8th all of a sudden?
Right. And I'm trying to remember. I don't believe Demers could be sent down anymore. I think you'd lose him, right?
I think he would be.
So I don't have that waiver sheet that our friend John at Sharks Pig drew up, right?
Yeah.
Or was it John or was it Daryl?
It might have been Daryl.
Well, Sharks Pig had a great resource for waivers. And of course, we Matt D'Agostini it again. We don't have it in front of us, but of the defensemen, I'm the most concerned about Demers right now. And of course, Kent Huskins scores a goal
right.
against us in the St. Louis game, which is like a dagger.
It's like salt in the wound.
It's like a paper cut to the eye.
Yeah.
It's so rude.
Yes.
How rude was that?
It was not cool.
Did people boo heartily?
Yeah, people booed Huskins quite a bit in that game.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There was what about Scott Nickel? I wasn't at that game.
It was funny. There was like no mention of Scott Nickel. There's certainly been the tradition of the Sharks, you know, sort of showing players on the Jumbotron and people giving them a hand. Certainly remember that with Jody Shelley. Maybe I missed it, but I don't remember that with Scott Nickel. Maybe he just didn't work, you know, up enough, you know.
Do you think that they put the camera over near the Blues bench and it was too high? They missed him?
Yeah, he was just lower. He was under the shot.
Way lower. We saw some freaky injuries this week, too, in the Ducks games. We saw Brent Burns put Jason Blake into potential early retirement.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't be early for him because Blake should have retired a couple years ago. The guy's amazing, actually. I mean, to play through the illness that he went through and to still be playing, I have a lot of respect for him, but he's not the player he was when he was scoring 40 goals for the Islanders. He's not that player.
Not at all.
You know, and I'm hoping Jason Blake has a nice full recovery so that he can use his hand in his daily life mm-hmm. and not to play hockey anymore. He's done.
Mm-hmm.
But that was unfortunate. I'm sure Brent Burns felt awful. And what about the Beauchemin play that we saw?
In the face. Apparently a friend of mine was sitting in a different section and he said somebody actually yelled that out when they showed it on the Jumbotron, you know, from from The Hangover. They showed it, and him getting hit in the face with the puck, and some guy just yelled, "In the face!" Which is a little brutal, yet funny.
Yeah, that was from that where was, we sat.
That, and the fact that he came back, I mean, if that doesn't show you that hockey players are the toughest ever, then that is just, that's crazy.
He got hit in the face, yeah, and then he stood up, like, 5 seconds later.
Yeah, leaking like a sieve.
And goes, starts wobbling off the ice.
Yeah, goes off and then comes back.
I would have been sobbing.
They probably put him in the quiet room or whatever, you know, that concussion test or whatever they do. But then he came back and was playing again. I mean, that's insanity, man.
Incredible.
The baseball player got a paper cut. He'd be out for 3 weeks. All right. We have another email from Scott. He has some questions and observations. He says, "Mike, is there a stat or some other method to determine the quality of a shot and then be able to rank a team or individual? Because right now it doesn't seem like the Sharks are doing anything except padding the opposing goalie's save percentage. In 4 games, Thornton plus Couture have 2 points. How much do we worry? Hanzus and Desjardins have 4 points. Is this a good thing? And the leader in shots is Burns with 19. So, about the shot thing, yeah, there is some shot quality stuff out there. A lot of shot quality metrics are based on distance from the goal. Other things that people use is the, you know, shot. All the shots are marked by the NHL, and they're kept as a distance from the net, and, you know, specifically at what time. And so, you know, the guys at Puck Prospectus have done, you know, shot quality stuff with, you know, which is a function of how far from the goal is it. You know, obviously a shot inside around 10 feet has about a 20% chance of going in, and a shot from 60 feet has about a 2% chance of going in. So the distance makes a huge difference. Whether it's a rebound shot, if a second shot comes within 2 or 3 seconds from a first shot, the rebounds have a lot more chance of going in. And there's a couple other factors that are less important. But overall, they found that you know, shot quality does have an effect on goal differential, but not nearly as much as shots themselves. So shot differential is about four or five times more important than shot quality. So shot quality, it makes a difference, but right now the shot differential, the Sharks are supposedly doing pretty well. The only thing I'd bring up to this discussion is also it's been shown that teams usually shoot a lot more when they're behind. And so you see better Corsi numbers from teams that are behind because they start taking more chances offensively because they're trying to even the score up. So usually when you look at Corsi numbers, it's usually good to look at Corsi even strength. And right now, over the last 3 games, the Sharks have been behind pretty much almost the whole game. Mm-hmm. So it's not that surprising or that shocking to see the Sharks outshoot their opponents because they're trying to get back on the scoreboard. They're trying to claw their way back in the game. So I don't see the Sharks, you know, favorable shot differential in the last few games, maybe as positively as some other people do, because, you know, I've seen that's not uncommon for teams to do that, yeah, when they're behind.
That's so, a good point. I guess I'm thinking back to the second period on Monday night where we outshot the Ducks drastically, but that's because we were down. I mean,
right.
We were down
2-0.
2-0. So they were trying to get back into it. Burns leading the team in shots. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think he's got the best, you know, boomstick on the team. I mean, when he unleashes that cannon, it's pretty frightening. And we've seen, you know, the positiveness of that, you know, with he's got 2 goals so far, right?
Right.
So they're kicking it back to the point. That's, you know, Todd McClellan's style.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he wants. And, you know, the lack of production from Thornton, it seems a bit fluky because that top line has been pretty good, I think. You know, not great, but...
Not great.
But not awful. But Couture's absence from the score sheet is a little bit more alarming to me. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Yeah, me too. Couture the most, because he's really been kind of invisible. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've at least seen Joe do some things that look pretty good and created some chances, but Couture is almost, it's like he's not out there. I definitely noticed Klo a lot more on that line than Couture. And I know, Andrew Benj writes for Inside Hockey, I think, and I think he wrote an article about how the Sharks could use a shot in the arm named Havlat, and I'd really like to see what happens on that score, because I think an offensive speed threat on the second line that can really put the puck in the net might be just what the doctor ordered, I'm hoping.
Yeah, you've got a 60-70 point forward who's not even playing right now.
Exactly.
And, you know, say what you want about Tommy Wingless, but...
yeah.
He's given a good effort, but he's not Martin Havlat.
No.
You know?
No.
So we'll see Havlat's debut reportedly on Friday in New Jersey. it'll be interesting to see if he plays kind of sheltered minutes or what. You know, maybe they're going to ease him back in, or they might throw him right in the fire with 16, 17 minutes, dude. But that should change things up a little bit.
I'm hoping because I want to see more. I want to see more north-south speed. It seems like the Sharks are doing a lot of delays. They're not rushing the puck in, going around behind the net. When you see people, when I think of, you know, just in my memory, my short-term memory of the past few games, all the people I can remember taking the puck down and skating behind the net with it have all been Brent Burns and Dan Boyle. There's been a lot of that. And you see a lot of Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau going in, breaking into the zone and then stopping on the half boards and delaying and looking for a pass into the middle for the trailer.
And that's not what they were doing during the preseason, which I think not really. Is so interesting. Other things that I have liked, I will say, is the movement on the power play I thought was pretty impressive. And they were moving so much on one power play that it was so confusing to watch, you know, because they were really, everyone was exchanging all over the place.
Right.
That, you know, once they get that going and get on the same page, that's going to be fun to watch. Because they should be able to connect a lot more than they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, I think everybody needs to just simmer down a little bit.
Let's just try and just take a deep breath.
It is disappointing.
It sucks, without a doubt.
But hopefully by this time next week, we'll say, you know, what's the goal here? You know, we're hoping that they'll win two out of the next three. I mean,
That'd be nice.
Is that the goal? I mean,
be awesome.
We've got, let's see now. I'm using my iPad.
Dude. Yeah.
Okay.
Using your iPad.
I'm using my iPad. It's a little bit delayed. Here we go. Dude.
Okay.
Thanks for hanging in there with me.
All right.
So we've got New Jersey.
Boston and the Rangers.
Boston. And then, wait, this is.
Dude, what are you looking at? You're looking at August.
This is August.
What are you doing?
What's going on here? This is not right.
Dude, okay. Forget that. We're going to the Dudes on Hockey schedule, which is my computer background.
Why is this why is the schedule so screwed up on NHL.com?
Your iPad sucks. Jersey on Friday, Boston on Saturday, dude, Rangers on.
Upsetting.
Oh, Rangers is on the 31st, so the Rangers is the last one, and then Nashville on Tuesday.
I'm looking at this, and first of all, that schedule's messed up, that they're not playing Rangers and Devils back-to-back. That's stupid.
Right. And the Islanders. They're playing Rangers, Devils, and... Islanders and Rangers are back-to-back. Islanders are on the 29th and Rangers on the 31st.
It's dumb.
Yep.
Anyways, so we're hoping by the time we talk to you next, that the Sharks will have won. I'm going to say win in New Jersey. They'll get a point in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And a point in Nashville.
Okay, so 4 points?
I'm going to go 4 points.
Okay, that sounds good. We're looking for 4 points. I think we're going to get 2 wins.
Oh, I like that.
2 wins and a loss. That's what I'm picking.
How many games does Niemi play in the road trip?
All of them.
All three of these games he's going to play.
I think he's going to play all these games, yeah.
Even back-to-back against the Devils and Boston.
Yeah, you got to get him out there. I can see that.
I think no.
Okay.
I'm going to say...
Grice is going to play one.
I think they're going to put Grice in against
the Devils, and they'll play Niemi against Boston.
Yeah, I'm going to actually go the opposite. I'm going to say Grice is going to play against Boston. Why not? The teams have been playing their backup against us. I mean, we saw when they put out Brian Elliott on Saturday night
and Dan Ellis.
I was all, ooh, baby, this is going to be like Christmas. And Brian Elliott looked like Patrick Waugh. I mean, like, he was stopping everything, and they put Dan Ellis. I was like, what are you doing?
Right.
Jonas Hiller owns us. He destroys us. And then Dan Ellis was
great.
Very good.
Yeah.
Stupid. That's the most infuriating thing, is when they make these backup goalies look
awesome. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's like the second coming of Ken Dryden in there. That's.
It's too early, dude. It's too early.
It's too early. I'm gonna try and sip some herbal tea or something.
Really?
No. Oh. I just was looking for a phrase that I could use there. But I'm gonna try and drink something calming, like whiskey, and hope that the Sharks can start out the road trip with a bang. They really gotta win Friday. Hopefully they have, you know, it's a Colin White homecoming to Jersey. I know his family's still there. Hopefully they're all going to sort of find something to rally behind, and maybe they can rally behind Colin White and go out there and win. and beat Jersey because it's they need to start this. They need to find a shot in the arm, and I'm hoping that's it.
It's going to happen, dude. Positivity.
Absolutely.
We're going to make it happen.
All right, dude.
All right. Till next time.
Next time.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.